Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Democracy at Work, A Cure for Capitalism is a political economy and social theory book by Richard D. Wolff, a Marxist economist known for making complex economic debates accessible to a general readership. First published in 2012, it argues that capitalism is not simply an imperfect system, but one that repeatedly produces inequality, unstable growth, weak democracy, and social costs that are treated as unavoidable. Wolff frames these problems as structural rather than accidental, linking workplace hierarchy to broader political and economic dysfunction. The book is not a technical economics text. Instead, it is a manifesto-like argument for economic democracy, especially workplace self-management. Its purpose is to show that if democracy is limited to voting in elections, while most people remain excluded from decisions at work, society will continue to reproduce domination and crisis. Wolff therefore presents worker-managed enterprises as both a practical reform and a foundation for a more genuinely democratic society. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, capitalism as a system that concentrates crisis, inequality, and political capture, Wolff begins from the claim that capitalism does not merely generate isolated problems. It systematically creates recurring crises, widening inequality, and a political order that serves concentrated economic power. The book emphasizes that modern capitalism often fails on the very measures people use to judge a functioning society, secure employment, fair wages, meaningful work, and a sustainable relationship with nature. Rather than treating these failures as policy mistakes that can be fixed at the margins, Wolff presents them as outcomes built into the logic of profit-driven competition. Businesses are pushed to cut costs, expand endlessly, and protect market position, even when those goals conflict with workers' well-being or environmental stability. This framing matters because it shifts the debate away from reforming symptoms and toward questioning the system itself. The book argues that capitalism regularly produces enough instability and inequality to undermine faith in both markets and public institutions, which is why a deeper structural alternative is necessary. Secondly, economic democracy as the missing foundation of political democracy. A central argument of the book is that political democracy remains incomplete if economic life is organized hierarchically. Wolff insists that voting in elections does not equal democracy, when most people spend the majority of their lives in workplaces where they have little or no say. He treats the modern workplace as an undemocratic institution, in which owners and executives make decisions that affect workers' daily lives, income, security, and dignity. The book therefore redefines democracy as a system that must extend into production, not just government. This is one of its most distinctive contributions, because it connects personal experience at work to larger questions of social power. In Wolff's view, a society cannot be truly democratic while the economy is governed by the few and the political system is shaped by wealth. The argument is not only normative, but also practical. Giving workers a voice in enterprise decisions would create habits, institutions, and expectations that strengthen democracy more broadly. Economic democracy is presented as the missing link between formal political rights and real social power. Thirdly, worker self-management as the concrete alternative to corporate ownership. The book does not stop at critique. It proposes a specific institutional alternative based on worker self-management. Wolff argues that enterprises should be run by the people who work in them, rather than by absentee owners or a small managerial elite. This model is not presented as a vague ideal of participation, but as a real reorganization of decision-making power inside firms. The significance of this proposal lies in its direct challenge to the capitalist assumption that ownership should determine authority. By contrast, Wolff holds that those who live with the consequences of workplace decisions should help make them. This would affect hiring, pay structures, investment priorities, and the social purpose of production. The idea is important because it turns democracy into a daily practice rather than a periodic political event. It also reframes the company as a social institution, not just a profit-making machine. The book suggests that worker-run enterprises could align production more closely with human needs, since decisions would be made by people with a direct stake in the workplace and its surrounding community. Fourthly, why profit maximization and endless growth clash with social and environmental needs? Wolff repeatedly stresses that capitalism rewards business strategies centered on profit maximization, growth, and expansion of market share. In principle, these are the standard measures of success in a market economy, but the book argues that they can produce socially harmful results when treated as overriding goals. If profits depend on lowering labor costs, intensifying work, or externalizing environmental damage, firms are encouraged to behave in ways that undercut worker well-being and ecological sustainability. Wolff uses this logic to explain why apparently rational business behavior can still be destructive from a social perspective. The problem is not simply unethical managers. It is a system that gives them few alternatives, This analysis helps explain why regulatory fixes often seem insufficient. If the structure of enterprise remains unchanged, then firms still face pressure to prioritize investors and competition over broader public needs. The book therefore presents workplace democracy not just as a fairness issue, but as a way to change what firms are actually incentivized to do. In this sense, environmental and labor concerns are tied to the same structural problem. Lastly, a transitional vision aimed at readers who want an actionable path beyond capitalism. One of the book's most notable features is that it combines critique with a transitional political vision. Wolf writes for readers who are dissatisfied with inequality and the limits of mainstream politics, but want more than abstract dissatisfaction or purely theoretical analysis. He presents economic democracy as something that can be built through concrete institutional change rather than waited for as a distant utopia. This makes the book especially relevant to audiences interested in labor politics, socialism, cooperative models, and systemic reform. Its value lies partly in making a radical argument without treating transformation as impossible or undefined. At the same time, the book remains aware that such change would face strong resistance from entrenched interests and would require collective organization. That balance between realism and aspiration gives the book its practical edge. It is less a prediction than a framework for thinking about how people might move from criticism of capitalism toward creating new forms of enterprise. For readers exploring alternatives to market fundamentalism, the book offers a coherent first step rather than a complete blueprint. In conclusion, Democracy at Work: A Cure for Capitalism is best suited for readers interested in political economy, labor rights, socialism, cooperative ownership, and the relationship between workplaces and democracy. It will be especially useful for students, activists, educators, union members, and general readers who want a clear argument for why inequality and instability are not accidents of capitalism, but recurring features of the system. The book's practical benefit is that it offers a framework for thinking about workplace reform as a democratic project rather than a narrow management issue. Its intellectual benefit is that it connects economics, politics, and ecology into one analysis, showing how decisions made inside firms shape society as a whole. What distinguishes it from many other books about capitalism is its emphasis on workplace self-management as the key institutional reform. Instead of focusing only on regulation, redistribution, or electoral politics, Wolf argues that democracy must enter the sphere of production itself. That gives the book a sharper structural argument and a more concrete alternative than many critiques of capitalism that stop at diagnosis. If you would like to support Richard D. Wolf, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.